You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is the second Saturday of the month. We are talking trees. Mr. Eisenhower, you shaved.
I did not. Not this morning.
Not this morning. We've got John's... You're like his right-hand man or his left-hand man?
Right-hand man.
Right-hand man. Right and left-hand man in this morning. This is Stephen Price. You're joining us today to talk trees. And y'all have a tree of the month to start us off with. And if you'd like to talk trees or join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, and you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. We monitor those channels live during the broadcast. And if you've got a tree question, now's a great opportunity to get it answered.
Awesome. Wonderful to be here. It's just always exciting to come on the air and share some tree stuff with the community. And we do have a special tree this month that we're talking about that many of you probably haven't heard of, but it's called a Jamaican cherry tree. This is a small type tree that grows really well in the desert heat. It doesn't seem to be bothered by the intense sun. And when temperatures are favorable, these trees can go really, really fast. In fact, I've read that some people have seen them grow 8 feet to 14 feet even in the first year.
Wow.
Pretty rapid grower, yeah.
Now, a lot of times the fast-growing trees are susceptible to a lot of damage and wind breakage and growing faster than they can support. Have you all seen that with the Jamaican what?
Jamaican cherry.
Jamaican cherry.
Yes, and so that's a good, really good point. Any trees that grow really fast need a lot more maintenance, especially in those early years. But usually in the later years, with good structural pruning, no problem. So this is one of those trees again. And when they get that fruit on them, which isn't really cherry-like, it's similar to a cranberry in size and appearance and mostly pink in color, but it is edible. So, again, this is a tree we don't see very often, and I encourage people when we talk about, I call it an exotic tree or not a common tree, to look that up and check it out further online. There's a lot of great information. So if you look up the Jamaican cherry tree.
And you said the fruit is more cranberry-like. Is it, so it's edible?
It's edible, and it tastes a little bit like cotton candy, which is what makes this tree a lot of fun, you know, for kids and gardeners and people who want to plant, try something different.
And how big will it ultimately get if it's growing 14 feet a year?
You know what? I think that's yet to be found in our area. But usually this tree, you might see it around 15 feet.
Oh, so it gets to its maturity size pretty quick?
Yes.
Very cool. So we've also got the October here. What is our weekly to-dos? We actually do have callers on the line that we're working on screening. And you can jump on at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Before we get to those, let's knock a few of these to-dos off our list here.
Okay, let's talk about the first one. October is a huge transition month in our area. Okay, this is when we start really seeing the temperatures drop off, especially at night. We still may have 90 to 100 degrees during the day, but there's these big temperature fluctuations, and we could see, you know, 50s, 60s at night. And it's a time when most people pay no attention to their irrigation system, which is not good because that opens everything up to more, again, with those warm temperatures during the day, and you have this water sitting around the plants during the night. Fungi like Phytophthora can take off very quickly. The plants can become chlorotic very quickly. And as a matter of fact, I had two consultations this week, really nice homes and even pretty green thumb gardener people, but they're not monitoring their irrigation and their regular gardeners are not. And they had a lot of problems with chlorosis in the plants you could see that they were starting to get peaked and the foliage was getting smaller. And so on those consultations, occasionally we will, if they ask, take a look at the irrigation system and what the timers were set. And both were still set for watering every single day of the week. This is a time when you want to get in your controllers and make sure you're watering once or twice a week at the most for a good soak. Keep an eye on the temperatures. If we have a heat spell, then of course you can provide an extra manual watering. Next point we're going to talk about is it's a great month. October, again, is the last fertilizer of the year. We have the early, mid, and late season fertilizer, and this is fantastic for all plants, but especially all your non-native or desert-adapted plants to get that fertilizer down fruit trees, citrus trees, hibiscus, any ornamentals, the stone fruits especially. But you get that fertilizer down in there, and it actually translocates, it pushes that, stores those nutrients and minerals and things that it needs down in the root system. So in the spring, when they really come back to life, there's a lot of nutrients available for the tree to bloom and grow vigorously. So it, very important. Start scheduling that. Also, of course, it's turf transition month. And so, again, there's transitions all over the valley, and the turf is another big one. You're going to see all the scalping done and the seeding done for that, because when those temperatures get in the 60s at night, it's perfect for the germination. So,
and they are. Should this be getting morning a was delicious perfect. Walking
oh,
out.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Excellent.
Well, I'm going to pause you there, and we're going to get to our calls real quick. And before we get back to more of our talking points for our to-dos this month, we've got Wade from Rio Verde joining the conversation. Wants to talk about citrus. Good morning, Wade.
Yes, my friend bought a house up there and got about a dozen citrus, and there's a number of them that have got shoots growing off of their branches, growing off of the rootstock, and I was wondering, is this a good time of year to trim those or?
Absolutely. You can prune those off any time of the year. My only thing would be to say if it has a hard west exposure, just be careful. But those sucker sprouts really are supposed to come off, you know, pretty much whenever you see them when they come out of the rootstock. Those compete with the actual plant material that you want to keep, which is the main tree, the citrus tree. And so they suck nutrients and life and water from where you actually want it to go. So pretty much any time, I would just say if they just raise the crown or something and it's a hard west exposure, maybe you want to do it a little slowly or you know, wait another couple weeks or so, but the sun is going down, the solstice is happening. So just keep an eye on that. Just watch that sunburn on the trunks, which is critical for citrus trees.
Okay. Should the cuts be coated with something or?
No, they don't really need to be coated with anything here. Arizona is great because, again, we have very little rain. But with all the rains last season, let me just say again that we've seen more phytophthora and fungi problems this year than in many years because of last season's, the fall and winter rains that we had caused a lot of issues later in the summer. But usually, no, we don't have a lot of problems with pathogens entering into the trees, so not usually a need to coat those at all.
That's one thing that, gosh, I'd say 20 years ago, a lot of people were doing that. They would carry around paints and every prune cut they'd make, they would put a little dab over that cut thinking this is going to keep bugs out, this is going to keep, but that has changed.
That's changed, yeah. It changed and then it went back. So again, those old school guys sometimes know what they're doing. But it went back more in the areas where there's a lot of problems with these, like a lot of these spores are airborne and just, or splash, and so they could spread real quickly into an open wound where you have problems with that. So if there's a known problem or you're in an area where, again, fungi and airborne or water spread pathogens are prevalent, then maybe you would want to treat that and cover that up. But usually nature, boom, it has amazing compartmentalization, trees do. They'll close that up, they'll harden off that wood, and they'll start protecting itself immediately. So if there's known issues, that's a time when you might consider putting something on it.
All right. Hey, why don't you two guys take a bite of those cinnamon rolls?
Awesome. Look at that.
Jennifer just walked in here and says, Rosie, you have frosting on your nose. I have frosting on my nose. I have frosting on the microphone. And we had special guests show up at the station this morning. Our last staycation winners brought us homemade cinnamon rolls, nut-filled, icing-covered. I mean, these are fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Lots of icing, too, which I love.
Lots of icing.
We just got to do it right.
Oh, man. There's that. What time did y'all have to get up this morning to make this?
3:15.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she did. I didn't.
Yeah. Thank you, Miss Ginger. Really appreciate it. And y'all were our recent staycation winners that ran up to Pine Top.
Yes, that's correct. Pine Top and the Buck Springs Lodge.
And what car did y'all pick off the Sanderson lot?
We had a nice little F-150.
Yeah?
Four-wheel drive, four-door. I think it was fun.
Oh, good. Good, good. Well, gosh, these are absolutely delicious. I don't know what Miss Ginger does during the regular day, but, man, she could market these all day long anywhere. These are absolutely fabulous. I can't thank y'all enough.
Well, thank you.
For taking the time to get up at 3:15 in the morning and cook some homemade cinnamon rolls and bring it down here to the station.
It was all very worth it, though. Thank you for the trip.
Oh, man.
Well, and happy anniversary.
Yes.
That was last month. Yeah. Worked out that it was kind of right in time with your anniversary.
It did. 41 years, so I know we're not old enough for that, but we've been around for a while.
Well, congratulations, and glad y'all enjoyed your trip up to Buck Spring. Did y'all hear any elk bugling?
No, we did not. Didn't see very much wildlife at all. We had to chase down a couple of squirrels, but not much else.
And y'all went over to the crawfish cookout.
We did. I wanted to have a crawdad, but just couldn't quite hold it together.
I don't think I could either, yeah. But Buck Springs Lodge, I used to go up there every year and stay there. Yeah, very cool little cozy place. It has that big center area,
yes,
right up there. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, I love that. And the kids used to play, and yeah, very cool place.